Good morning. You know, and we can't say it enough. I can't say it enough. Thank you, Mom, and happy Mother's Day. I know you can't tell, but I'm 68 years old. And I still miss my mom. I know where she is. She's in the presence of the Lord, but I still miss her. And I know that, like Josh's mom, she still prays for me. Yeah. My name's Denny. I'm, for those of you who don't know me, and today we're going to finish this story of the walls of Jericho today. Remember I told you it was a two-part series? And so we're going to do part two today. Part one was the walls of Jericho breaking in from the outside the faith of Israel, if you recall. And today on May 10th, Mother's Day 2015, we'll do part two, which is called The Walls of Jericho Breaking Out, okay, from the Inside, the Faith of Rahab. And I want you to bear with me because in this message, and by the way, these messages that Aaron or any of us bring to you, they're really from God through us to you. Just bear with me because we're going to start out here. And we're going to end here, okay? And you're going to learn something that many of you probably have never understood about this story. And you're going to learn something very new and about a very great woman. Well, let's begin. And so last week, part one of this two-part series, we concluded it really with chapter 6, verse 20, in the book of Joshua, and it read like this as we ended it. It wasn't quite the end of the story. It said, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Now we're going to continue on at verse 20 there into verse 22, in verse 21. And we're going to read this because it follows just the walls falling down. It says, they devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out. And all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and her mother, her brothers and her sisters, and all who belonged to her. And they brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside of the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. They put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites today. And that's how chapter 6 ends. In this epic story of the walls of Jericho, where, if you'll remember, the commander of the Lord's army appears with his sword in his hand, and where this massive system of double walls, which encircles the entire city of Jericho, 50 feet tall, come falling down flat. Why are these spies and Rahab, a prostitute, even mentioned? Nothing that the spies did helped bring down the walls of Jericho. They didn't even learn or reveal any of the secrets about Jericho. And who is this Rahab? Who is this lady of the night who gets into this Jericho story and literally biblical history? We're talking about her here today, thousands and thousands of years later. Who is she? Well, we're going to see if we can figure this out. Now, Rahab's story actually begins in chapter 2. And I want you just to pause for a minute. You guys sit back and relax as we look at chapter 2. And I just want you to listen to this and listen for some details. Because what we're going to really find out today is why these spies and Rahab are in this story of the walls of Jericho. And like I said, listen for details. Guys, not ladies, listen for details. Okay, all right, here we go. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came to the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, the men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, True, the men came into my house and to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you can overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Now these spies are trapped. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that all of the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you have devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard of it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God of the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our lives for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." She let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your way. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie a scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and your mother and your brothers and all of your household." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." And then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied a scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned, and the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. That's chapter 2. Did you hear the details in there? When the two Israelite spies arrived in Jericho, they entered into what everyone in the entire city of Jericho knew was a harlot's house. And they did this most probably as a cover for their mission, since no one would be suspicious of strange men entering into a house of ill repute. However, did you notice when they entered Rahab's house, they found a woman who had already been touched by the Spirit and the power of God? God was in the process of rehabilitating Rahab's life. In Rahab's story, we see the power of God to transform lives of those who come to know Him. Just as the Lord had changed this woman, Rahab the harlot, He's able to change any life, regardless of how wicked, how broken, how lost, how wretched life one may be. God can change it. In Rahab, we also see a woman who was protecting her family, which is probably a pretty important point to make today on Mother's Day. As we examine and reflect on some of the details about Rahab's story, we will see what God has done for those of us who are saved and what God can do for those of us who are not saved. Let's begin now by looking at Rahab's condition. Remember, I said we're starting here. We're going to be here. In the story that we read together, Rahab's condition was described this way. When Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim, "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. I think Rahab's life and reputation inside the walls of Jericho is quite symbolic of the lives of men and women who have not been saved. Notice how this is true. Rahab was defiled. She was a harlot living in a lost pagan city. And for most of her life, she didn't know any better. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:3, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. And in Romans 3, the Apostle Paul writes, as the Scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The Bible says the lost person is in a helpless and a hopeless condition. In Ephesians we read, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises of God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. Living in a sinful condition renders us unclean and unable to have fellowship with God. The great prophet Isaiah declared that it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and will not listen anymore. In addition to being defiled, Rahab was dead. Although Rahab was living a very active life in Jericho spiritually, she was dead in her sins. And this is the condition of every person who is not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know this is true because the Bible says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Of course, this is talking about spiritual death, not physical death. And some people might not think spiritual death sounds too scary while they're walking around, breathing, eating, working, vacationing, dating, raising families. But spiritual death is horrific when we understand that spiritual death is eternal, conscious, and agonizing separation from God. God gave the Apostle John a vision of the future after Jesus' second coming, which hasn't happened yet. And he described in Revelation 20 what he saw this way. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead and death, and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. The death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. People who are spiritually dead cannot live forever into eternity with Jesus, and they will be thrown into the lake of fire. This was Rahab's condition. And as a result, Rahab was doomed. Doomed. As a resident of Jericho, and as a notorious resident of Jericho at that, Rahab had a death sentence hanging over her head. She had already been judged by the Lord, and she didn't even know it. And the same thing is true concerning every person who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who does not obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. The meaning of doomed, is this. God has rendered an eternal sentence for those who do not believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible puts it this way in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament say the same thing. The Old says the wicked will go down to the grave. This is the fate of all the nations who ignore God. Paul writes in the New Testament, he will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. Now, despite Rahab's lifestyle, and despite her pagan background and her lost doomed condition, God gave Rahab 40 years of grace and warnings. And God does that for us. Think about it. How many times has he given each one of us a chance to respond to him and his call? How many times has he called us before we responded in faith? Each one of us has a number there, and it's probably a big number. But our God's gracious, and he's good, and he gives us lots of chances. But we should be very, very careful about presuming upon the grace of God, because the Bible makes it very clear in the very first book of the Bible, there's a limit to God's patience in calling the lost to come to him for salvation. In Genesis we read, then the Lord said, my spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they're only human, mortal flesh. In the future, Their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. Hear this. It is a dangerous thing to delay repenting and coming to the Lord. Now, in listening to the details, when we read this story of Rahab, did you notice that by the time the two spies arrived in Jericho and entered in her home, Rahab's defiled, dead, and doomed condition had already been changed? We can see Rahab's changed condition and prove it by Rahab's confession and claim. In Rahab's story, before the spies had a chance, even had a chance to tell Rahab who they were, a lot of men had been in her house before they even told her who they were, she tells them that what she knows about them and what she knows about their God. And as it turns out, Rahab knew a lot by that time. Most likely, Rahab had already repented of her sins and looked to God for salvation before the spies had even arrived and entered her door. This is what I believe the New Testament is telling us about Rahab in the book of Hebrews and in the book of James, which I want to remind you was written by Jesus' half-brother. In Hebrews, we learn it was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And Jesus' half-brother writes, get this, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Now also, did you notice the mention of flax drying on the roof? Flax is used in the production of linen cloth. And it's just possible that by the time these spies had come in, she had this flax drying on because she had changed her profession. Yeah. Take a look for yourself at what Rahab confessed. Rahab confessed she knew some things about the Lord. And she said she heard some things about him too. Rahab even called God by his covenant name, Rahab the harlot. This pagan called him by his covenant name, Lord. Rahab confessed her faith in the truth of what she had heard. And then she confessed the fact that Jehovah is the only God. Hear it in Rahab's own words. She says, I know the Lord has given you this land. She told him, we were all afraid of you. Everyone in this land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings, east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. I confess and profess. Also, take a look for yourself at what Rahab claimed. Rahab claimed salvation from the coming judgment. The complete, utter destruction of Jericho and every single living thing in it. And I showed you the picture of that last week. Her words. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. Rahab took what she heard and what she believed to be true as an invitation to claim life. and a pardon from destruction. Rahab's confession and Rahab's claim is a picture of how salvation comes to lost people. The lost person hears the message, the word of God, and the Spirit of God touches their heart. In Romans, the Bible says, so faith comes by hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. It sounds too simple. And it sounds too good to be true. But that is how salvation works. And how salvation comes to everyone who receives it. Jesus said it himself. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. And I want to be quite candid with you and just quite basic. There's no better deal. There's no better deal. You know, when someone asks you, you know, why do you believe in this Jesus? Obviously, the answer is, you know, the Holy Spirit has revealed it to me. I can't argue it. But also, why are you a Christian? You go, look, you know, the answer is, there's no better deal. Accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, obey him, and I get eternal life as a child of God forever. Name a better deal. Bring it to me. Now, there's a few things I'd like you to see that really demonstrate the authenticity of Rahab's conversion. The authenticity of Rahab's conversion. The changes in Rahab's life, in Rahab's spirit, and Rahab's future, that is, Rahab's conversion, were, I believe, proven in three ways. Rahab's conversion was proven by Rahab's new labors. Rahab proved she was a new creature by hiding two spies and helping them to escape. And by doing these things, Rahab was working for the Lord and not against him. And this is exactly how a saved person works. A saved person demonstrates a saved life by their works. The Bible says in Ephesians, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. And again, Jesus' half-brother writes, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. And we learn that this difference between works, you know, fleshly works, and the fruit of the Spirit, there's a difference, and the difference is, to say the least, quite remarkable. Hear them from the Bible. Paul writes, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sinful nature, here are the results. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy. Sounds like the front page of the newspaper. Outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. They come to you on your cell phone. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And raise your hand if you don't want any of these. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want them all. I would not reject one of those. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Rahab's conversion was also proven by Rahab's new love. When Rahab came to know the one she called the Lord, the God of Israel, she wanted others to know him too. She actively pursued bringing others under the same umbrella of protection that she claimed and received for herself. And when you know Jesus, you will want to see others to come to know him too. You'll pray for them. You'll tell them. You'll warn them. You'll love them. You won't be satisfied as a Christian to see them live and die without Jesus, defiled, dead, and doomed. Finally, Rahab's conversion was proven by Rahab's new life. When Rahab came under the umbrella of the nation of Israel, everything in her life was transformed. The same day, the very same day that the walls of Jericho fell down flat, Rahab received a brand new life. And this is true for us. When a person is saved by the grace of God, everything changes forever. Listen to what the Bible says. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Also, the thief, this is Jesus speaking. Hear him. The thief's purpose, Satan's purpose, is to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose, the purpose of God, the purpose of the Son of God, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Rahab's rich and satisfying new life, as it turned out, was pretty amazing. We start here. Here it goes. Her new life. Rahab was spared from death, and so was her entire family. Her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, and all of their families. And did you notice when we were reading Rahab's story that Rahab tied a scarlet cord in the window from which the spies escaped? I think that scarlet cord, just like the lamb's blood put on the sides and tops of the door frames when Israel left Egypt, is symbolic of the blood of Christ that spares the lost from death and sets them free. The Bible says, "And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation." And also, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." Secondly, Rahab's rich and satisfying new life included Rahab's new life relationships. When a sinner is saved, they're removed from Adam's family and adopted into God's family. The Bible says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father." And some of you here were with us in Israel. Remember on our trip? And we walked around and what were all the babies in the crib saying? Abba, Abba, Abba. Remember that? Daddy. And we call him Abba Father. Also in 1 John, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him." Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. In addition, when the sinner is saved, they become God's heirs, children, heirs. The Bible says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering, as some of you know. Rahab's conversion ultimately resulted in a new life relationship with God, and also new life relationships among the Israelites. Did you know Rahab married one of the two spies? I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Third and finally, Rahab's rich and satisfying new life included Rahab's new reputation. Rahab literally was taken from the house of shame and wound up in the biblical hall of fame. We read in Joshua 6. Go back to 6. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Rahab's parents, brothers, sisters were alive at the time of her association with the two spies Joshua sent out. But we're not told in that Old Testament story that she was a mother and had any children at that time. We don't learn that in the Old Testament. However, in the New Testament, in Matthew 1:5, we are told that Rahab is an ancestral mother of King David. And Jesus Christ, since Rahab is identified as the wife of Salmon, one of the two spies Rahab sheltered in Jericho. Ultimately, the gratitude of that spy, Salmon, felt for Rahab ripened into love. And when grace erased her reputation and her former life of shame, Salmon, the spy, took Rahab as his wife. As the wife of Salmon, Rahab, the harlot, became the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth, the mother of Obed, whose son Jesse was the father of King David, the first king of Israel through whose royal line Jesus Christ was born. Salmon was a prince of the house of Judah. And Rahab, the once upon a time harlot, married into one of the leading families of Israel and became the, I don't know how many times, great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. Remember? Jesus, the Son of God, and the commander of the Lord's army who showed up at Jericho with the sword in hand and who made it possible for the Israelites to break in from the outside to Jericho and Rahab to break out to the outside of Jericho. Her great-great-great-grandson was there. If there ever was a back to the future moment, it was the walls of Jericho. Now, can there be any doubt why Jacob and these spies are mentioned in the story of the Battle of Jericho? Let me conclude with this. Today's Mother's Day. And it is a day to honor women who, like Rahab, birth and shelter and raise up and protect families, their families, until the day they die. To all our women, I say this. Today is a day that you can either commit or can recommit or to continue to be like Rahab and exhibit the kind of faith that can have an eternal outcome for you and for your family. And you already may be faithfully trusting God to bring you and your family into heaven and to live together with God forever. But whether you are or you are not already exhibiting such faith, the truth is this. You and anybody in this church can become a child and heir of God who may boldly approach the throne of your Father and stand before him and ask him this. Father, even as a sinner, I am allowed into heaven to live with you because I placed my faith in Jesus Christ and in his shed blood and his resurrection from the dead. I claim nothing else other than faith in Jesus Christ and ask you to bring my family with me. Has your life been rehabbed like Rahab's? If it has, thank Jesus and live for him. If not, come to him now. Come to him now. Repent and call on him for salvation. Just like he did for Rahab. Amazing story. Pray with me as we close for our day. And just before I approach the Lord, I just want to ask if there's anyone here who hears the voice of God through the Holy Spirit calling them now and knocking on the door of your heart. If you hear that call right now and you want to invite the Lord in, just while all eyes are closed, let me know that. I want to pray for you and welcome you into the family of God. Abba, I want to thank you for this beautiful day today. Thank you for these amazing stories. I love these stories that you've given us, Lord. You're an amazing God. You're so gracious and so good. Thank you for those who have answered the call of your voice. Thank you for those moms who have prayed for us. Thank you for those moms who have asked you to bring all of us along, their families with them, into your kingdom. And thank you, Father God, for being so gracious and good to do it. May we lift you up today in a way, Father God, that honors you by honoring our mothers and showing them the love and the respect, not only that is our duty, but that is our desire. We love them. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.